Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And as always, glad to be with you here on the Radio America Network. I am your host, Paul Barry. This is Home and Family Finance, and we start with always asking the same question. Are you financially fit? And what does that mean? That means, are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? You should be making more than you spend. Do you have 6 months of savings to meet all expected expenses? That survival fund as well. Do you have that? You know, you've got to have these things. An emergency fund and a surviving fund. And I say this to you each week because it's so important. You need to have 6 months of money saved up, put away, that will meet all of your expenses for the next 6 months in case you don't have any more income. It's so important. And then there's also the emergency fund. This is so important. That first fund is your survival for the 6 months. The emergency fund is for what you don't expect, and put away a little something there. And are you saving at least 5% of your income on a monthly basis? 5%. You have to do that, folks, and you'll be thankful. You'll thank me if you are. I'm excited about today's show. We have a great show. One of the things we are spending a lot of our money on, or many of us are, we've really got this bug, bug about, where do I come from? Who am I? A lot of folks are spending a lot of money, and I've got the people here today that are going to talk to you about how to best spend your money if you are really interested in your ancestry. I have genealogists par excellence who are joining us, Catherine Wilson and her husband Dick Richard Wilson. They are unique in this. They will be our first guest. My second guest will be Janet Bodner, talking about a new column that is for women. And women in finances, and I think you'll find that segment interesting. But right now, let's get to Dick and Catherine. Let me just give you a little bit about their background. First of all, let me say welcome to the show. Dick, Catherine, are you there?
Yes, we are. Thank you very much for having us on the show today.
Well, we're very pleased to have you on the show. I know a little something about you guys because, for full disclosure, folks, I have used them for my own check of ancestry, my genealogy search, and I'm very pleased with it. But let me just tell you a little something about them. They've researched and documented their family histories for 20 years. They've also performed research on many other families. They are both members of several national and regional genealogy societies and have attended numerous conferences around the country. They have researched at the LDS Library in Salt Lake City, and Catherine will tell us what that is, or Dick will, as well as several state archives. Catherine has done extensive research on Maryland's Eastern Shore, the African-American families, including two abandoned cemeteries there. She's also a member of the Mayflower Society, and Richard is a son of American Revolution. And they are just delightful. And here's the truth. It's a billion-dollar industry. And Catherine says, don't be lured onto the Internet until you have done some investigation on your own. And how do you do this? What do you start with there, Catherine?
Well, actually, you start the old-fashioned way, Paul, with pencil and paper.
Okay.
And that doesn't cost very much. The first thing you do is you write down what you know, and you start with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You write down your birthday, when and where you were born, and if you have your birth certificate, all the better, because then you will see exactly who your parents are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a side note right now, when you get these original documents, you really need to put them in an acid-free paper that you can get at your local computer supply store or whatever, and that will preserve them a little bit longer.
Okay.
To get back to our point, you start with a pedigree. You figure out who your parents are. Your dad always goes on the top line. Your mom always goes on the bottom line. And there's something I want to say about your mom. Your mom is not got the same last name as your dad. She was born with her own unique maiden name. For instance, my maiden name was Catherine Mack, and I married Dick Wilson, and I became Catherine Mack Wilson. Well, on the pedigree chart, I have to write my name as Catherine Mack because my DNA and my bloodline are very different than my husband's.
Understood.
In genealogy, that is what we're dealing with.
Okay.
Separate bloodlines.
So you need maiden names, in effect, and make sure you get the right names.
Yeah.
And then how about interviewing other people? Do you interview your relatives? Can they be helpful?
Oh, absolutely. The other thing I recommend is that find out who your oldest ancestor is and interview them first and ask them questions. And the best thing I could say is, you know, get one of those little pocket tape recorders and record what they have to say.
Okay, so if you've got older relatives, go to them, find out what they know, and put it someplace where you can use it as you continue through your search.
Correct.
Okay.
What I do is I keep all my research in a three-ring notebook with dividers, and I just use ruled paper like we used back in school.
Right.
And that's how I start.
Now, folks, you should also know, and based on my experience, you want to look for paperwork such as birth, marriage, death certificates, family Bibles, obituaries. This is all your source material. It doesn't cost you anything, and you can gather this, and you need more information. And, Dick, what other sources of information should you be looking for?
Well, I look at various local, regional, and historical genealogy societies, including the ones in the county. Most counties have historical society and some have genealogy society. One of the best sources is going to the family history library of the Mormon Church out in Salt Lake City. And they actually have 4,700 centers in 134 countries. And the best part, it's free. And their website, of course, FamilySearch.org is free, and you can get a lot of information there.
Okay. Now, folks, let me tell you this. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out, but when we come back, we'll ask Dick and Catherine how much you need to know before you turn to the experts. And then when you turn to the experts, how much should this all cost you? This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. Who are you? Who are you really? We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
The idea of this show is to save you some money because I know you have the interest in finding out who you are and where you came from. And we have two professional people, Catherine and Dick Wilson. They are both professional genealogists. And at some point, you will need to get to them. But they're telling you what you can do first. And you've just heard you can gather information. Dick has said you can go to local, regional, national, historical, and genealogy societies. You can go to DAR. You can go to U.S. National Archives and Library of Congress, the local library. And, Dick, what do I have to know about using that that data bank out in Utah with at the Mormon Church? Can anybody go there?
Yes, anybody can go there. It's free to the public. You don't have to be Mormon. If you do on the website, you should just register your name so that you have the password and you set yourself up, and then you can search the individual you're looking for, as well as list of books and other sources.
Okay.
Another point about the FamilySearch.com site, they have tutorials for people beginning in genealogy.
Okay.
And you can access their tutorials also on that site.
Okay, guys, but that brings me to this important site. When do I know that I'm out of my depth, that I need a professional like you? When and do I use software or do I go on site online or do I call? How do I know when I need some help?
We traditionally say you need help when you hit your first brick wall. And a brick wall is something like, you know, you get back to your Civil War ancestor and there are six Adam Smiths in the county where your relatives are, and you really don't know which one is yours.
Okay. So this is a time when I should turn. How do I select the person that's going to help me? Do I do it by location, cost? How do I decide? How do I get to you guys?
Well, the easiest way is to go to the Association of Professional Genealogists site online. And it's a certifying organization that certifies us and holds genealogists to certain standards of honesty, privacy, and ethics.
Okay.
And they will have a list of names. The other way is to go to your local library, which I think is what you did. You went to your library and you found the librarian recommended us. And that's another excellent source to find a professional that will help you knock down your brick walls.
What about before I get to you and I decide that I want to get some software? Do you advise us to do the software before I get to you or after?
It doesn't matter. The thing that I want to state about software is that there are two types. There's the genealogy software programs, which are a database that you load onto your computer and you enter your family data using the format of that genealogy program.
Right, okay.
This information is private. It's on your computer, and you don't share it unless you want to.
Okay.
We use two different programs, Roots Magic, which costs $30, and it's compatible both with your Mac machines and Windows. And Legacy is another one. It's about $30.
Okay.
That's about the average price for a software package.
Okay.
Most of these sites you can access on the internet, and they will give you a free trial period for you to experiment with their software and see if it is a good fit.
All right. I got Catherine and Dick are my guests. When we come back, they'll talk more about what you need to know before you start investing in researching your history. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guests are Dick and Catherine Wilson. They are professional genealogists, and they are here to make sure that when you start this walk, you start it the right way and you don't get ripped off. There are lots of programs that we see on the air. They're entertaining, and they also have all of these different technologies. Catherine, Dick, advise us. Where do we go here? What's the best way to know which program, what we should use?
Probably the most common program that's available is Ancestry.com. We see advertisements for this all the time on TV. Ancestry.com and another one that we use, FindMyPast.com, require yearly subscriptions, and they can cost you anywhere from $199 to $300, depending on how much you want. And what you get from them is access to the U.S. and Canadian censuses. If you get the world packages, you get the United Kingdom censuses. They have a lot of raw data on military records, naturalization records that you can actually pull up that they've copied from the National Archives.
So,
before you plunk down your money, you need to understand what these sites have to offer and what you think you need, because you will end up spending far more than you need to if you don't research it very well.
Okay. I don't know how to research it. So that's when I guess I have to come to you guys. So how much are you guys going to cost me if I decide to use your services?
My set fee as a professional genealogist is $35 an hour. And I think you experienced that that hour is packed full of information. You know, we just get right down to it and get down to the nitty-gritty. My husband has a little bit different approach because he's more of a hobbyist. And he has a different remuneration system than I do.
Okay, but the same area, about the same amount. I mean, yes.
Yes, about approximately the same
okay.
amount. Yeah,
and realistically,
anywhere from $25 to $35. Now, your genealogists that have been in the field for 20 and 30 years and have published buku volumes can cost you up to $150 to $200 an hour.
Wow. So pick your poison is what you're saying, right? Decide.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That makes perfect sense. And if we want to reach out to you, how do we do that?
You can reach out to me at my email address. It's my name, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Catherine, .K, as in kite, .Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N, @gmail.com.
Okay.
And that will get to both of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know how to reach out to your husband, right? you can get him involved in this as well. Okay. All right.
Oh,
go ahead.
This is we actually are a team, and when you hire one of us, you hire both of us.
Understood.
I'd like to end with two thoughts, if I may.
Well, go ahead, Dave.
First, you should understand the history during which the time your ancestors lived. If, for example, they lived during the Civil War, your ancestor might have been in a local battle near this town. And there's one little saying I'd like to read to you. Genealogy begins as an interest, becomes a hobby, continues as an avocation, takes over as an obsession, and in the last stages is an incurable disease. Happy researching.
Well, I you know what? Let me just say to you both, I agree. I mean, I have learned more. And more excited about really knowing, not thinking, but really knowing where I come from, where my family, the background. And I have learned more through you all in terms of just today I received this morning from Ancestry DNA. And I'm not plugging them, folks. I use them, but you use who you want. But I found out the history of my mother. You know, it's amazing. It's fascinating. And all the other rumors that you hear from your family, nothing to do with the truth. You have to know from and I suggest to you, find an expert, find somebody you have confidence in. Dick, I don't know, sure, and Catherine, if I were, what do you think, if I'm trying to put a budget on this, and I really, starting from zero, what should it cost me to really find out and to go back, you know, fairly far, well, to go back?
It depends on how far back your family goes, and how many generations we have to reach, but my initial consultation is 4 hours.
4 hours.
At $35 an hour.
Okay. Okay,
and,
guys. I so much, and I'd like to do this again because I think a lot of people, we get folks wanting to know what this is all about. Thank you for being with us. Would you come back and talk to us again? Would you please?
Absolutely.
All right. Catherine and Dick Wilson, folks, this is the beginning, and it could be the beginning for you. Coming next, Janet Bodner from Kiplinger. Stay with us.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
Always glad that you're with us. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I am your host, Paul Berry, and we thank our sponsor, the Defense Credit Union Council, for their fine job. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's Finance Readiness Campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. So check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically, and go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as I often say to you, you don't have to be in the military to save. I want you to save at least 5% of whatever you make every month. every month of any monies that come in, put away 5%, and you'll be happy that you did when you watch it grow and you have some money to rely on. I also often, as you know, here in the program, rely on Kiplinger because of their various topics that they cover. And we generally have a guest on almost every week, certainly at least once or twice a month. And today is no different. And today we've hit the big time because we have with us Janet Bodner, who is one of their, if not the top, she's a nationally recognized expert in the field of children's and family finances and financial literacy. And that's what this program is all about. We're based on financial literacy. She is the author of two books, Money Smart Women and Raising Money Smart Kids. Her Money Smart Kids column appears regularly on Kiplinger.com. She's a regular contributor to WTOP. That is a major all-news radio station in Washington, D.C., and Fox Morning News. And you can hear all over the place because everybody has such great respect for her, as do we. Welcome to the program, Janet Bodner.
Well, thanks so much, Paul.
It's a pleasure. Kiplinger's launching Money Smart Women. What drove this? What happened here?
Well, you know, women are just kind of women rising, right? Is that an expression, right?
And let me just say, boy, are you rising. I mean, right up to the very top, shattered the glass. What a!
I know.
How do you feel? You must be. Are you excited about this moment? I mean, I'm not talking politics aside. You know, I'm not in. But here we have, for the first time in 240 years, a woman nominated to be the president of these United States. It just gives me such great joy.
Well, it is a moment, I think, that's for sure.
I really mean that. As I said, I'm not concerned about, I understand that everybody's going to get into the Democrat. I'm not there. I'm just saying that gender, based on just gender, that we were able to do this. I felt good 8 years ago when we nominated the first black to be a president. And follow that up with a woman I think it's just a great step in this country.
Right, and when you think about how far we've come over the course of years, it's just kind of amazing. It really is. That part of it is very, very true, you know, that we could come this far from where we started. You know, and it's been a gradual process on both counts, you know, for African Americans and also for women. But, you know, we've arrived at a certain point, you know, which is, and you're right, we should all be proud that we've arrived at that.
Absolutely.
Point.
And for my daughter, who's 25 or 26, as she wrote to me from California, Dad, I can now be president. I said, you know.
she could be four, actually. She has to think positively. That's what we're writing about with the Women and Money column. Think positively.
Absolutely.
You can do this.
Well,
you don't need somebody else to do it for you.
That's so true. And you're right. Women are playing an expanded role in business, management, finance, and now, of course, politics. And you seem to want to address the trend by introducing this Money Smart Women. Tell me about the column.
Yeah. What we've done this year, we've actually kind of declared it the year of the woman, even in spite of before the political stuff, just because, you know, there's so much interest in this on the part of companies, actually, financial companies that deal with women. There's just a lot of chatter about it. We ran a couple of really big stories. We did a big story in April, a cover story on the secrets of women investors. We did a piece in June on women and money, focusing mainly on retirement and saving for retirement. So we're kind of segueing into this column, which I'm going to be writing, that's going to actually focus. It'll be a regular column that focuses on financial issues of interest to women. And as I think you said earlier, I've written a book. One of the reasons I'm doing it, aside from being editor of the magazine, is that I have written a book on women and money, which is called Money Smart Women. And the initial edition, the first edition of the book, was called Think Single. And this is really my theme. Think Single has nothing to do with your marital status. It has to do with a way of thinking about money. You always think independently about money as a woman, no matter what your marital status is, no matter what your family situation is, because women don't always do that. They often put other folks first, or they rely on other folks to take care of their finances. So my mantra here is two mantras. One is that women need to think single, need to think independently. The second one is that women and men working together make a really great team, because they each bring different talents to the table, and we want to maximize women's talents and their comfort level.
When we come back, I want to ask you about that, because aren't you asking me as a man to kind of step out of my role, my traditional role as to your job and my job? And I'm not saying that's not a good thing, but let's talk about that and see if we can convince others that we ought to make these changes, because everybody ought to be thinking and dealing on their own to some degree, especially on the subject of financial literacy. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be back with Janet Bodner right after this.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Money Smart Women is the new column that will be heading your way from Kiplinger. Editor Janet Bodner joins us as she explains that she wants women to kind of think single. But isn't that antithetical to all that we've ever thought about in terms of the role of women and men, Janet?
No, Paul, absolutely not. Again, first of all, I have so many things to say. It has nothing to do with your marital status. It simply is a way of thinking about finances and always thinking about your own finances and what's going on in your own financial life. Now, if you are in a situation, if you're in a marriage, this is another issue, but I'm going to say this now. I really do think that because of family issues, the actual role of men as the breadwinner is something that's really important. I mean, that's really important as the glue that holds a family together. So, this is a topic for another show, but I'm not minimizing the role of men as breadwinner in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm saying is that nowadays, first of all, there are a lot of women who are breadwinners, either because they're, single parents, or maybe because they're married, but they're also working, and so they're contributing to the income, within the family.
Sure.
And even if they're not, even if you're in a traditional situation where you're a stay-at-home mom and your husband is the breadwinner, you need to know what's going on with your family finances. And this is good for you because you have or can maintain a sense of independence as far as finances, because you know what's going on with the family money, and not just the day-to-day budgeting, but, does your husband have a retirement plan? Is he going to start a retirement plan for you, which he can do? A lot of women don't realize this. Even if they're stay-at-home moms, they can have their own individual IRA. They can
Absolutely.
Have a household individual retirement account. So you are on top of your finances, plus you're a helpmate to your husband, right? That's what you're supposed to be.
Right.
So he doesn't have to bear the total pressure for this. So again, using that retirement example, maybe he has a retirement plan at his job, through his job. You don't have an actual job, but he can open an individual retirement account for you. So you're doubling down on your retirement savings. So the two of you are actually putting together, savings so that you can retire together, which is what your goal is,
right?
So the pressure is not all on him, but if, God forbid, something should ever happen to this woman's spouse, maybe the marriage ends in divorce, maybe in premature death, she still has her own retirement savings.
And
so it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. And the other point that I think is so important here is, first of all, the example that we set to our children. If all I see is dad looking after the money and mom never doing that, I begin to think, well, that's the role that they have to play. Not talking about breadwinning and being out there, but just saying, hey, I've got a brain as a woman. I can think and I can help and I can add to and I also can look out for myself. I think that's an important part of having women feel like there is a role that they can and should be playing every day in the family finances.
That's right, exactly. And that's, again, what I'm talking about when I say think single or to think independently. Plus, women do bring a different perspective than men do. And again, the two of them working together are very, very good, because they do think about these things in different ways. And it's always good to get a different perspective. So it's really important for women to play this role and not to be, a lot of women, several things. At Kiplinger, I know we get questions from our readers. We get questions about money issues from both our male readers and our female readers. And so, nobody knows this intuitively. You have to ask to find out, how to set up, a good retirement plan, or what you should do with estate planning, or what about tax issues. Nobody knows how to deal with taxes unless they get advice. So, it's both men and women who are asking questions. It's both men and women who are bringing a different perspective to this. And together, as I said, they really make a SOCO couple.
My guest is editor Janet Bodner from Kiplinger. Her new column will be called Money Smart Women. When does the column start, and is it going to be, are you going to jump around on topics, or is it going to be a continuum of a theme?
The first one is in the September issue of the magazine. I'm going to be writing it every other month for starters, and it's going to deal with the theme of Money Smart Women, but it will be different. It might work. It might deal with women in investing. It might deal with women in estate planning. You know, women are the survivors, and so it's very important for them to be, for example, the beneficiaries of their husband's retirement plans or the beneficiaries of their husband's insurance policies. That's not always the case. Couples tend to forget about these things because they're so busy doing everything else. So it's going to cover a lot of different topics, but on the theme of what women need to know to give them financial independence or to give them more confidence in how they deal with money.
And how do you see the changes, or do you see the changes here in the last 15 or 20 or 30 years in terms of attitudes about women being on the side of making money, of being partly? We talked earlier about men being the breadwinner, but that's not how we work today. I mean,
No, it definitely is not. I mean, if you look at the statistics, you know, the labor force participation of women, the number of women who are college students and college graduates, I mean, all of those numbers, the number of women entrepreneurs, all of those numbers are on the rise, which is, again, why it's such an opportune time to deal with a Money Smart Women column. Because here's the interesting thing, Paul. Just because a woman is successful in her career, you know, she may have a six-figure income, she may have her own business and be an entrepreneur, but that doesn't necessarily mean she takes care of her personal finances, you know, because she may be so busy building her business, and this happens with men as well. You know, you're so busy building your business that you kind of ignore, neglect, you know, the personal angle of things. So you're not providing for your own retirement. You know, you're plowing all your money back into the business, and so you're not thinking about how you might, you know, allocate the your assets elsewhere to, you know, so that you're a little more diversified. You're not totally dependent on the business. So in any case, that's the whole point.
And the point of it, too, is that, listen, Janet, come on. I've got plenty of time to do this. I'm not going to worry about it right now. You know, he'll take care of it or she'll take care of it. You know, and we've got plenty of time before you have to worry about it. That's just not true. That's got to be as important in both of your lives as the business that you're running.
Right, exactly. And, you know, again, it's very, very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day job if you're employed, you know, especially if you're a manager. You know, you work for a company, you manage dozens, perhaps hundreds of people. I mean, that's a 24/7 job. So you're not really thinking about managing you or managing your own finances. Right. It happens all the time. I hear stories about this all the time.
We're talking with editor Janet Bodner from the Kiplinger Magazine. They've launched a new column. It's going to be called Money Smart Women, written by editor Janet Bodner every other month, and it's going to be kind of devoted primarily at women. But when we come back, we'll talk more about that. And from this point of view, I hear men who are saying that part of the problem, the reason that we're in such trouble right now, is that women are not in the home taking care of business. They're out reading columns like this and other things that take them away from raising our children. It's ridiculous, but some people believe that. When we come back, we'll get Janet's take on that. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Are you financially fit? The question that we always begin the show with, and you know what that means. Are you saving money? Are you saving? Are you spending less than you make? Are you doing all the right things and putting aside your survivor's form and your emergency fund? I hope you're doing all of that and you're saving 5%. That's being financially fit, and that's being financially smart. The Kiplinger Magazine's new column is Money Smart Women. Editor Janet Bodner is my guest. And Janet, I'm going to take a little issue here because I think and I believe and I've been taught that a woman's place is in the home, not reading Kiplinger magazine and not reading columns and taking care of those babies. And if they were doing that, why, you know, this would be a better world. Hello.
If women who are doing that are, in fact, interested in the family finances, that's even more reason. If you have kids and you're taking care of children, you want to make sure that, you know, you're saving for college so that the kids get to go to school. If you're, you know, people say this, that if you're a stay-at-home mom, you are the chief financial officer of the home,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen statistics that women take care of and manage 60% of all the financial decisions mm-hmm. that are made within the household, the buying decisions. You're the chief buyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the merchandise officer. Likely as not, it's very frequent. It obviously isn't the same in every household. But, you know, women are often the ones who pay the bills, you know, the
Absolutely.
Day-to-day bills. They do the day-to-day budgeting. So they're really on top of the finances, and especially if they're staying home with the kids, because they sort of say, well, this is part of my job. Part of my job of being a stay-at-home mom is also taking care of the finances, the home finances. And that's fine. There's often lots of division of labor,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a family. With mm-hmm. one spouse does one thing. I do this with my own husband. There are certain things that in our family, he's the one who pays the bills
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
he is an accountant. That was his major in grad school, and he kind of likes to do this. But I manage my own investments, my own retirement investments, my 401k plan through Kiplinger, my IRA, that sort of thing. So that's how we divide it. Every couple is going to divide it differently. But what women tend not to do is they don't kind of look at that long-term planning. They frequently leave it to their spouse. Take just a simple thing like life insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you have kids and you're dependent on your spouse for his income and for your support, woohoo, something happens to him, you're in deep trouble, right?
That's right.
And your kids are in deep trouble.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's important that you have life insurance coverage. And your husband may not think of that. He doesn't know instinctively, intuitively, he doesn't really know what to do. He has to learn about it just as you do. And so you're the one who can learn about that through Kiplinger. You know,
right,
we'll
right,
tell you
right.
how you need to shop for insurance and what kind of policy you need and how much you should expect to pay. And that's kind of the long-term planning that, again, when I say think single, think independently,
right.
what would happen, God forbid, to you and your kids if something were to happen to your spouse? Would you be provided for as insurance is concerned?
And you need to know that. You need to know that. You don't.
Oh, you know, do.
I hear it so often. I had no idea that we didn't have. I didn't know
right,
that,
exactly.
No, exactly. I thought.
They never discuss, right?
Never discuss.
Don't discuss.
Never discuss.
They don't know.
Yeah. And we're almost out of time here, but just a couple of things. Again, we talked briefly about this new, what I love about the role of a woman running for president is that it gives my children a whole different perspective on the
right.
world that they live in, okay? It ain't a man's world. It's our world, men
right,
and women.
Exactly.
We can both be anything we want to be. And I can already tell that there's a different approach from them in terms of looking at that. I think it's a wonderful time, and I think the same thing with columns like this that you're writing. It says, look, there's a column that's kind of dedicated to me. Doesn't mean you can't read it, but it's going to help me be a better contributor and controller of my finances. I think that's a wonderful, and I think that's basically what you're going for, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And actually, frankly, I hope that our male readers also read this because they're going to learn a few things too. You know, they're certainly going to get the good Kiplinger advice that they always
sure,
get.
Sure.
Plus, they might get some insights into how their spouse or their significant other works and how they can better work together to make more money.
That's right. That's the whole idea. It's a team concept, and, you know, we break
exactly.
it down the wrong way sometimes. But I think it's very important that we have that kind of understanding that we both are in it together. And if we work together, we can make our situations a heck of a lot better.
Right.
Your first column will be?
In the September issue of the magazine. And actually, I think it's probably on newsstands, right at the beginning of August. So I think the second Tuesday in August is when it goes on newsstands.
Yes.
If not earlier, it might even be on newsstands this week. But it's the August issue.
Janet, was I nice enough that you will consider coming back again and talk to me sometime?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to, Paul. You're always nice.
Thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations on your new column, Money Smart Women, in the September issue of Kiplinger. And come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, thank you. Janet Bodner, my guest, folks. I hope you enjoyed the program. Interesting topics and great guests. And we'll be back same time, same place next week right here on the Radio America Network. Join us then. It's all about you. Be financially fit. Take care of your business. Bye now.